Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn, you gotta cheat before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade at X5. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Senra Says, and I say I have a trading problem.
That was clever. I like what you did there. That's nice.
I was glad I didn't mess it up. All right, so there we go.
You did great. You did awesome. And then you interrupted me, and you just took all credibility away. And now this... Good night, everybody. Show's over. There's no point in going on anymore. It went really, really high, and then just dropped low. And then it's just... What are we going to just end in the middle? You can't do that. No, yes, we're going to. Because this is session 271 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. A member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. The DAP Network, if you will. And Rocky doesn't know why, but he just put his fist in the air. Clearly, he's not here. He has family to deal with. I have my priorities straight. So I have my kids outside making s'mores, you know, with their mom. Not me, not by themselves, because they're 8 and 10. And I... would not trust them for the life of them with fire and sticks and, well, I would trust them with marshmallows, chocolate, and graham crackers. But I guess maybe not like melted chocolate because fingers. But you know what? That is the point of this show. It's 4th of July. We're not here to talk about anything important. And also, preemptive apology, I had to bring my dog down here with me because she was going nuts with the fireworks. And my wife didn't want to deal with it, so she's down here with me. So I guess we all have to deal with it if she starts. So preemptive apology. Before we go, Kyle, why don't you remind every... Because you've been on the show before. We talked about this before. And I'm like, man, I've been doing this so long. He's like, I think it was this year. And I'm like, dude, it could have been 2 weeks ago and I wouldn't have remembered. And not had nothing to do with... I said barking, not walking on things. He sat down when I said that. That worked. Yeah, you know, like it could have been 2 weeks ago and I wouldn't remember. That's like time has literally just turned into nothing. So why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, where they can find who you are and what you do and whatever else you just feel like saying right now.
Well, my name is Kyle Senra and my Twitter handle is Senra Says. It's also where a lot of my team names are named that. So if you're searching on Sleeper, I know some people have come up to me. Oh, this is your most rostered receiver in Sleeper. Oh, okay.
That's not creepy at all.
So yeah, but yeah, Senra Says. So that's where I'm at. And I do contribute to two websites, Full Press Coverage and Going for Two. With Full Press Coverage, I write articles. I'll do dynasty rankings, but also weekly rankings in season. And they're published at both places, Going for Two and Full Press Coverage, my rankings. But Full Press Coverage, I will get into more articles in season. I write my goal line guide series. I co-host two podcasts, Full Press Fantasy Pod, which we just had our last official Dynasty episode of like the off season, because like this point it's okay, what can we project for the season going inward? And there's so much of Dynasty that applies, like that point of like the Venn diagram of which things in redraft matter that also matter in Dynasty. We're getting to that point. So
yep.
Funny enough, I had Rocky on Sunday to record, just to talk about our most rostered players in our dynasty portfolios. Had J Mike on as well. Figured that was a good group to have on to end episode. So while Rocky's not here, I suppose maybe I don't know if I took his spirit during the recording and I replaced him here.
Got a little dark. That is all right. You're into some things apparently that dark. I didn't know about.
There you go. Dramatic effect too.
And no, you're clever.
I'm actually super appreciative because Rocky reached out and invited me onto the spot. So I'm grateful for Rocky. Unfortunately, couldn't be here, but also am great to wave the banner and wave the flag. And,
speaking of banners and flags, I see a Packers helmet behind you. Is that a thing for you, or is that a player that you like?
Oh, yeah. So the other podcast I co-host on Full Press Coverage is the Full Press Packers pod. So,
yes, gotcha.
I'm a Packers fan. That comes from my grandfather, who was a Packers fan. And just I remember there's a I think I still have it somewhere, a football with the Packers G on it. I thought it just looked so cool. So I kind of identified that as, if ever I was going to care about football, because I'm in Canada. So, hockey was more the priority. But I'm going ahead of myself, because I forgot to mention I also contribute at Going for Two. I co-host one show called The Dynasty Gambit, which we do a live streams every second Thursday. So not this week. It'll be next Thursday, the 13th will be our next episode. But yeah, we just talk about Dynasty, and that's always great. And then on Mondays, I host the Press Coverage podcast, again, every 2 weeks. And that's more one-on-one interviews with different people through the fantasy space and getting to know people. So, glad to be on the Dynasty Addicts here.
Okay, very cool.
Dynasty Addicts Network.
It's okay, man. Breathe. I say wrong things all the time. You don't have to worry about it. All right. So next important question. Are you in Scott Fishbowl? And if you are, what division are you in? And what draft spot did you pick?
I just made it in. I got the invite like Saturday. So it was one of the last few. I kind of looked through, and the one that really stuck out to me is the craft division. Ooh. And there's a lot of different things craft makes, but the first thing I think of is peanut butter.
I went straight to mac and cheese.
I think most people would, but I guess like craft is so popular here in Canada that like that's almost, it seems like Jif in the States is like the most popular peanut butter. And I have had it. And I mean, really, it's peanut butter. Like, you can't get it wrong. Like it's really tough to have bad peanut butter. But just how it seems like that's like almost the standardized format that everyone likes as the best. I feel like in Canada, it's Kraft, and those two little bears, you just see them everywhere. So I immediately identified with the peanut butter. It stuck out to me. So, and of the divisions I liked, and like, okay, I like this food, I like this food, that was the only one with the top three pick available. That's the 102 slot, at least was what I chose. I'm looking on Sleeper. We haven't officially been assigned, so I don't want to like take for granted that I for sure got that, but that was the one that I selected. So we'll see.
So the very important follow-up question to everything you just said, creamy or crunchy?
Oh, I like both. Like I think you need both, because there are certain times where I prefer to have smooth. If it's something I really want to spread evenly, it's kind of tougher to spread with crunchy, but I just love peanuts so much that I do love the taste of crunchy. So there'll be times where I strategically want smooth. I suppose if the effort used to prepare the peanut butter isn't taken into account, just taste, I would say crunchy. But it kind of makes you work for it a little bit, because it's a little slightly tougher to spread. So yeah.
If I'm talking peanut butter jelly sandwich, to me it's smooth, it's creamy. Like, maybe it's just because I don't remember when crunchy peanut butter like became a thing, but I feel like at least when I was like young, that wasn't a thing. Or at least I hadn't known it was. So I just, to me, peanut butter jelly sandwich, first of all, grape jelly. Second of all, creamy peanut butter. I never was able to work crunchy peanut butter into a peanut butter jelly. It just felt wrong. I don't dislike crunchy peanut butter. And I don't know how many things we're talking, uses for peanut butter. But if we're talking peanut butter jelly sandwich, I need to go creamy. I need to go smooth. I can't with the crunch.
That's fair. Well, that really chewed on that topic there, didn't we?
Clever again. Okay, so you went top three. So here's the funny thing, because it's third round reversal, which makes that like 11-12 spot really nice when talking about the most higher ranked players you can get. And, I originally picked Reese's, I think it was. And then I'm like, no, I want to go to Honker Burger. Then I saw that there was Gusteau's, and I'm like, all right, well, it's Disney Pixar. I have to just do that. So I went with that. And apparently, instead of clicking 11, I clicked 1. Like, my goal was to pick at the end, but I clicked the wrong end. So I have the 101, and I'm torn between just doing what I think I should do and taking Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, or do I play the gutsy call, knowing how out of control Travis Kelce scoring can be, do I risk taking him and waiting to see what's at quarterback? Because I don't even get the next turn. I get one pick on the turn, and then it goes back to the other side. Like, so I'm not getting a second quarterback till pick 48, if I'm lucky, and I'll have to take one then. Because, like, I can't wait another 24 picks. Like,
yeah, the risk of that second rounder could, like, do all the good quarterbacks you'd want to take as second rounders go, and then you're forced to reach there knowing it's so long between your next pick. Yeah,
yeah, I'm going to have to take, like, Mac Jones at pick 24, and then, like Kenny Pickett or Baker Mayfield or something. Like, yeah, saying that out loud makes me want to take Josh Allen first. But that's, yeah, it's almost here. I'm very excited. I'm ready for it. And while we're speaking about it, if you haven't purchased anything from the awesome merch store, go hit up on Twitter at Fishbowl Merch. There is a link in the bio to the awesome merch store where you can buy, I think we're up to like 278 designs. And every penny of proceed goes directly to Fantasy Cares, and you get awesome stuff. They came out so good. Like, we switched shops this year, and the quality of everything is just so much better. So much. It's so good. Like, I can't, I can't wait to start wearing them out in the world. I've started wearing them out in the world. It just makes me happy. Okay.
I guess I strategically chose Craft Division knowing there was so much gear for Craft as well. So I ordered a Craft shirt for sure.
And what frustrates the hell out of me is how awesome all of the hats look. No matter, I have not seen a type of hat with any logo that looks bad. They all look great. And the reason it frustrates the hell out of me, I don't wear hats, but I want them. But I'm like, am I going to start wearing hats?
I almost always wear hats when live streaming or podcasting. But I just got a haircut because I usually hate the way my hair looks with headphones. But when it's short enough, it actually looks fine. So you caught me in the rare day where I didn't need a hat.
Oh, I'm used to streaming with Peter Howard, who like looks like the Cowardly Lion a lot of the times with his hair and the headphones. So no matter what your hair got to, it would not reach that level. So if we're ever streaming again, you don't have to worry about it.
Is the Scarecrow on the Dynasty Dummies?
Okay, well, that would be an interesting question as to who is... I get you're going to no-brain in the dummy thing, but now I'm just trying to... Who is Zach and who am I? Like, I'm probably Toto. That's the bad part. I am not anything interesting.
Well, all right. Does Toto have a dog that walks on things?
Well, now we're getting into, like, Disney where, like, animals have pet animals, and that's a world I'm not ready to talk about.
There's a precedent for it, but yeah, we can just talk about us having pet fantasy teams if you want.
I would play in that league.
We have to feed it, right? We have to feed our teams with, like, you know, players, right? You got to trade draft picks to feed the starting lineup. I don't know.
Now I feel like we're playing fantasy Tamagotchi or something, and this is going in a direction I don't want it to go in. So now is when I'm going to make the choice. Do you want to do, well, Trade Addicts Trade because we have one, or Listener Questions because we have multiple?
Well, I mean, this is the Trade Addicts podcast, right? And since trade is the first word in the title of the podcast, maybe that is the more logical option as the first choice, right?
Yeah, but I also have to start yelling at people, reminding them what the name of these leagues are, because, well, now that we're done with the live streams for Fantasy Cares, like, every single freaking day, I will hopefully get more time. As if you're listening to this, which means you listened to us in the past, you know, last week I put out like a 20-minute episode by myself that I recorded on Audacity because I didn't have internet at all last week. And I work from home, which means I didn't really work last week. So, like, what was it, like, Thursday, Friday, and Monday, like, work. I had to, like, catch up on 4 days of missing, not being able to actually work because I didn't have internet. And I'm like, oh, I have internet now. Oh, here's the 87 emails I got while I couldn't do anything about it. Oh, cool. Great. So hopefully now I can go back to just avoiding doing my day job and do nothing but send out trade offers. So hopefully going forward, we have more. But right now we have one trade in Trade Addicts 5, which is 12-team Superflex PPR. Tight end premium, 1.75 points per tight end reception with 0.05 points for return yardage. And the trade is Khalil Herbert, Zay Flowers, Kadarius Toney and Isaiah Likely for J.K. Dobbins, Darren Waller, and a 24 third. That was a lot, so I'll read it one more time. Khalil Herbert, Zay Flowers, Kadarius Toney, and Isaiah Likely for J.K. Dobbins, Darren Waller, and a third.
All these Ravens players, I'd have to hope at least one of these teams has Lamar Jackson. Let's get some stacks.
I will tell you that I am in this trade, and I do not have Lamar Jackson.
So, you know, tricky. It's 1.75 tight end premium, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so I think that definitely, like, I'm pretty high on Waller for this year, but you're essentially, like, there's probably not, even in such a premium, I mean, it's your league, both as commission and owner and also as a manager in it, but, you know, the trade value on an older player like Waller, you know, is this like maybe like the last big trade that he's involved in where like whoever's purchasing him is purchasing him just for the points and just for the, you know, for this year, essentially, and as probably the leading receiver on the Giants, probably both in targets and catches, maybe even receiving yards. Cause he can, you know, there's some deep threats there, but he can stretch the field still, assuming he's healthy enough.
Well, let me ask you, 0.75 premium, would you give up a 24 first for Darren Waller? Okay, just that's all right. So keep going with what you were saying, because I wanted that answer so I could feed in my answer when we get there.
It does seem like the two oldest and like more productive pieces are on the one side, Dobbins, Waller, and then you've got, you know, a rookie in Zay Flowers, a third year player, and Toney, a second year player, and Isaiah Likely, you know, Khalil Herbert still on a rookie contract. So it does feel, and even that 24 third might be better served, you know, trading for it in season for a win now piece as opposed to trying to hold it to the rookie draft. So it is very clear, like a win now side and a rebuild side. So it does feel like, you know, my first temptation was Dobbins and Waller, just because I see that gap in the running back, like how much higher I have Dobbins ranked versus Herbert, both from a, like a short-term, but also long-term perspective. I just don't really see much upside with Khalil Herbert at all. But then, you know, a piece like Zay Flowers, for instance, who you're asking, you know, is Darren Waller worth a first? I mean, Zay Flowers was like, you know, I don't know if you saw any drafts where he wasn't a first round pick this year, but I don't remember any. Like, he was always very clearly a top 10 pick in rookie drafts. So player worth a first.
He was the 109 in trade addicts ADP.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, we can talk about like specific leagues and how high that fluctuated, but like, I don't think I ever remember him in the second at all.
No.
So, you know, a player clearly, I think, worth a first. So already we're kind of getting to, you know, Flowers probably worth more than Waller. Now, how many, just because he was a first round pick this year doesn't necessarily mean anyone's going to give up a future first to get him. But, you know, reason to believe that at some point someone will be willing to give up a first for him in terms of value. So,
gotta pick
the
a side.
The four for three does kind of make me think that, like, that Zay Flowers, and I'm enough of a believer in Kadarius Toney that I think I would take that side. But my first instinct when I saw it was the win now side, because I'm always like, yeah, let's go win championships. But just because you make, you know, push in doesn't mean you're going to win. So I think Flowers could contribute enough early to make it worth it for that team that can, like, you know, they've got younger pieces, but they might still be able to hold enough production to keep up and not really lose out. So yeah, I think I'm going with the side with the four players and say Flowers.
See, this is when you should have stuck with your gut instinct and stayed with the Dobbins and Waller side, because that's the side I got. Okay, so here's what I was sitting here staring at. I wanted Dobbins and Waller for every single reason you said, because I think he's going to do very well this year, and that's all I really kind of care about. I am not the biggest Zay Flowers guy. He's good. He's all right. If I wasn't a Bateman fan, I would like Flowers more. And I know Bateman has shown us that he hasn't stayed healthy yet, but I'm not going to predict injury. I think he's going to come back. He's going to be healthy, and I'm going to hope he does well. And not to say this offense can't be great, because anything is better than Greg Roman. Anything is better than what they had before. So we have to assume that more than just Mark Andrews is going to be catching the ball. And in my head, I'm saying, I'm not the biggest Zay Flowers fan. I know his value is a first. I really like J.K. Dobbins, because if that offense does do well, it is going to benefit J.K. Dobbins, because He's their running back. There's no one really else there that can challenge him for every down work. Like he, like there's, it's not a situation where they have multiple backs they can rotate through to play in any given situation. J.K. Dobbins might be pulled off for third and long. I get it. That's fine. I don't think he should be because I think he's a good receiver of the football, but that's besides the point. But Dobbins, to me, can be an every down back in a very good offense. So it was worth overpaying a little bit. But to me, Dobbins still might be worth a first. Like to the right person, he is. But both Waller and Dobbins, I'm like, all right, early seconds-ish. Which is why I threw Zay Flowers and a bunch of guys, people that are probably worth late seconds, early thirds. You know, my original offer was just Dobbins and Waller for Herbert, Flowers, and Tony. The counter came back adding Likely in a third. And I'm like, I really like Isaiah Likely, but am I going to let that little swap stop me from accepting a trade I was going to offer? No. So, like, Khalil Herbert might be good, but I also have Roshan Johnson on this team. So I'm like, I hate owning backfields. Like, I want to plant my flag and pick it. So that's what I did. I went with Roshan. So I was good giving up Herbert, hoping to find someone who believed Herbert was the guy there. And Kadarius Toney, honestly, I have so many shares that even if he does hit and I miss out on this one, it's not the worst thing in the world, assuming Dobbins and Waller also do hit, so I don't feel bad about it. But honestly, in a week, I'm going to forget I did this trade and not remember that they were on my team. So it doesn't even really matter in the long run. But I think Dobbins and Waller bring enough upside to their positions that I did what I normally don't do. And I looked at my team and I'm like, all right, so I have a team that is not bad enough to get a top three pick, not good enough to be able to look and say I'm in the playoffs. Fine. I don't have a tight end. Let me get a tight end. My best running back. I have like Khalil Herbert, Roshan Johnson, and Devin Achane. Like guys that are like, if they hit, they can be really good. But I know J.K. Dobbins is going to be the running back for his team, so I'm good with that. So this, it felt like I was paying Flowers, which I don't think Flowers for Dobbins and Waller gets accepted. So I threw out Flowers and then just a bunch of stuff. And I was lucky it seemed like I threw stuff that this person liked. So I liked this trade for me and for him because I honestly did not look at their team. Like, I will be honest, like, you're supposed to do the right thing and find out what direction they're going in and offer a trade that's good for both teams. I'm like, I just went through and started offering trades because we didn't have any for the week. So I'm like, let me just try and do something. So I was very selfish and just looked for players I wanted and sent trades. And it just happened to work.
Well, to be fair, it sounded like the counter wasn't that far off your original offer, right? So
yeah.
So it worked. You're within the good range anyway. So I don't know if that's luck or maybe you just know your league that well. You probably at some point, like, you know, you're saying like you don't remember necessarily everything, but maybe subconsciously, like you had checked that team out before and you kind of knew what they were trying to do. And even if you didn't remember in the moment, you just, or it was pure luck. It could be either or.
I greatly appreciate the amount of respect you are giving me right there and benefit of the doubt. It is not deserved, but thanks.
I will say I agree with your point on Dobbins, and you know I think he's the best pass catching back on that team. There really isn't a receiving back profile anywhere there. Certainly not Gus Edwards. Justice Hill has like the body type of a receiving back, but I don't think he has any more career catches than Dobbins does. And Keaton Mitchell's a rookie. What can we expect from him? So yeah, if they're going to start suddenly throwing to the running back, I'd expect Dobbins gets a lot of those targets.
Crossing my fingers on that one. All right, so let's move on to listener questions. The first one we have is from at a very saucy dude. Fantastic handle. Three-part question. One, are you guys involved in Devi or Campus to Canton at all? And if not, why? All right, I'll go first on this one. I'm in a league or two that involve Devi. It's very, very light. The reason I don't do both of those in reality is because it's too much. Like I get it. Like I can do light Devi because I can get a gauge of people's value based on what I see on Twitter and hearing people talk. Like two years out, you pretty much have an idea of what people think of a lot of players, and it's not that big of a deal. So it's easy enough, but like, especially with the C2C where you have to actually play college fantasy football, I don't watch college. I've never really watched college. It's honestly just,
oh, you don't watch Clemson games?
No, I just watch videos of their wide receivers.
Oh, okay. Same here, to be honest. I don't watch college either.
So that's really my big reason, especially for C2C, is because I literally just wouldn't know what I was doing. And a deep Devy league, like, I would honestly... See, here's the thing. I could do it, and I... You know, Devy players are trade chips, just like rookie picks are. But my problem would be I wouldn't get best prices for anyone. Like, I would end up waiting for, you know, like, everyone started to love a couple of, like, running backs a year or two out. We started talking about Miles Sanders 2 years before, you know, when Saquon was, you know, like, a year before he was going to, his last year in college, we started talking about Miles Sanders, but like, that wasn't a secret anymore. Like, so I'd have to pay those second tier prices already. Like, I would be outsharked by a lot of people just because they knew what they were talking about for longer. And it would put me at a disadvantage, even though I guess that's a challenge for myself. But again, it's more than I don't know it already. And learning more just makes my brain hurt. That's my answer.
Yeah. I have a similar answer. I am in one Devy league, and it's been running since 2019, 2020. Yeah, I think 2020, this will be our fourth season. And I feel like I've given that a good test. I could say I've played the format. I don't enjoy it as much as just typical Dynasty, so I don't expect myself to dive any further into Devy. And yeah, I don't watch college at all, so the idea of a C2C league, I think, is that's way too much for me.
Way too much.
Like, the CFL is nice because there's only 9 teams, and again, I'm Canadian, so I love watching the CFL, and a lot of the season's happening now, so it doesn't necessarily, there'll be overlap like September, October. I mostly just play daily fantasy for CFL anyways, so that's a little easier to manage once it gets to the in season when it's the NFL season. College, that way too much of a big commitment to me. I'd rather, like, you know, there's a, I know, like, Dynasty Trades HQ, that they debate this all the time. What's more extreme? Like, what's worse to join, a Devy league or an IDP league? And I definitely fall on the Devy side. Like, I much rather would play in IDP than have to go learn all these college teams and conferences.
It's, whenever I hear about Devy leagues, my first instinct is always to just hear Mike Sipes in my head yelling about how stupid it is and how much he hates it, because he doesn't even like rookie picks. Why is he going to like Devy players? You know, just trades all of his Devy picks away immediately and calls it a day.
I just thought of the scariest idea, Devy IDP league. That would be...
No, stop saying words. No.
Ooh, that's a problem for me. I usually like to talk a lot, though.
All right, so question two of this is there a market inefficiency in acquiring older running backs? He says 26 plus. Seems like the door is open for quick contender builds if you buy those guys cheap in the offseason. 1,000%. Yes. It comes down to if you're willing to pay a price at a time where it is scary to acquire that kind of player. Like, I want Nick Chubb on every single one of my teams. I don't want to pay for him now. Like, I want to pay for him in the middle of August. Like, in my head, there's just far too much time. Running backs get hurt a lot more than wide receivers. Let me hold on to my young wide receivers and my picks. Let me hold on to my 24 first until the season's about to start. And then let me go send my 24 first for Nick Chubb. When Nick Chubb is scoring points, he is easily worth a 24 first to me. Right now, I don't want to send my 24 first for him. Like, the answer is yes, absolutely, because people get very scared off by running backs that hit 25, no less. So 26 plus, you're absolutely getting a discount regardless. Like, the nothing you have to pay for Derrick Henry right now is insane. So absolutely, if you have the gall and the ammo to go get these running backs and a team that's competing, you should absolutely go do it. If, again, you have the stomach to make it through preseason and workouts and everything and not, like, bite your nails down to your fingertips on waiting to see if they tear their ACL or not.
I guess to that point, the time to buy, in a sense, instead of August, maybe late September, when we've seen 2-3 weeks of the season, we have kind of an idea of what these players will produce. Maybe there's, you know, something that's more information in those 3 weeks than we're going to be getting in these 3 months waiting for those 3 weeks. So
yeah, but also price goes up then.
As you mentioned, Chubb will be certainly worth the first in season, maybe less so now. Yeah.
So yeah, that's really what it comes down to. It's trying to find that time, the median between price and anxiety, I guess, is my.
So August does seem like that's the best time because you still don't have any more information, but there's just less wait time. Like, at least, you know, training camps, you know, some portions of training camp pass through maybe 1 or 2 weeks of the preseason.
Right. And especially like now that there's only 3 weeks of preseason games, like Nick Chubb ain't playing week three. So give me week two of training camp. Nick Chubb's good. Fine. I'll go get him then. Of course, he'll cost a first by then because the season's about to start. And if you're smart, that's when you start raising your prices for running backs. But the answer is yes. If I don't need to say it again, you know what I said before. Part three, best movie to watch.
That, sorry, Russ, I'm going to interrupt again. I've already done that, but so I don't feel so bad doing it anymore because I'm used to it.
I'm just used to it now.
All to say, I think that even, you know, a year older than Nick Chubb, that 2017 class as a whole, like most of them have never been cheaper and like they've drastically dropped in price. Think of like Kamara and Mixon and Dalvin Cook, like how much uncertainty surrounds those three. It's McCaffrey's still up there in price. I think those three in particular, Cook, Mixon, and the other name I said.
Fournette.
But even Fournette. Well, Fournette too, another 2017 guy that's a free agent. But yeah, like all these guys, they've never been cheaper to acquire than they are now.
And go get Samaje Perine because he's the starting running back in Denver right now.
The forgotten man from 2017. The one that people took in 2017 rookie drafts that they wish they didn't.
And the first baby,
Kareem Hunt's a free agent. So yeah,
Hunt was there. Man, that was such a good class. And don't forget John Ross, baby. Woo, he was fast.
Was Eckler in that, or I guess Eckler wasn't drafted, but he was a UDFA, I think.
I think
might have been 2018, but I think he counts as one of those classes, even though he wasn't in the draft. It's just one of those UDFA right, running backs that just hits. Another guy that maybe could be good to go by, just I guess earlier in the offseason when like, okay, is he going to hold out? Maybe that's still that fear. He might
have. I am scared. Don't say those words.
He's not going to hold out. Don't worry.
All right. Best movie to watch on the 4th of July. Well, since the 4th of July is just Tuesday for you. Clearly the answer is Independence Day. But in my household today, we watched How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Jim Carrey version, which is amazing. Scoob, the newer CG Scooby-Doo movie. I fell asleep like 40 minutes in, but it was actually pretty good. And Robin Hood Men in Tights. Those are the three movies we watched today, and I would recommend all three of those.
Well, it's funny,
well the first 40 minutes of Scoob, at least.
Robin Hood Men in Tights, the Mel Brooks movie, and I think every time I think of Independence Day and Bill Pullman's great speech, I think, and that was Lone Star and Spaceballs.
Yeah.
So that would almost be my answer. I think I answered this in the tweet, actually. I responded because I got so antsy that I just decided to respond to everyone beforehand. So all these people that answered these questions, they get it both in podcast and in tweet form. So.
And also, little trivia here, you have Mel Brooks to thank for Bill Pullman's speech in Independence Day because Bill Pullman wasn't in the movies before Spaceballs. He was a stage actor. And Mel Brooks saw him, and he's like, no, that's my Lone Star, and put him in the movie. So,
thanks.
Just saying.
There's a lot of reasons we should thank Mel Brooks, but there's just one on the...
Oh, so. Like, he's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars this year. I love that, man.
Love this.
All right. We have a question from Noob Engineer, and these are always long and fantastic. I haven't read this one yet, so let's hope it actually works that way. All right. I have always been lucky enough to listen. Aw, he's always been lucky enough to listen to us and not draft for need historically. Avoided the pitfall of Keyshawn Vaughn and Trey Sermon because of this advice. But now this year, I've fallen into loving these running backs like Kendre Miller and Devin Achane for similar draft capital as the RBs mentioned. Am I being unreasonable in my love for guys like Sharp, Miller, Achane, Tank, and Roshan? I have some of these guys on teams in various states, contenders, and rebuilds, and I'm starting to question myself on my expectations. What are your expectations for their output this year and whether their values fall or rise? All right, so here's the difference between Kendre Miller, Devin Achane, and Roshan was a little later, but I really, really like Roshan Johnson. Like, the second I heard converted quarterback, I'm like, Jerick McKinnon, let's go. You know, that's my jam. But the difference between those guys and Keyshawn Vaughn, Trey Sermon, all of the other guys that I'm finally blanking on that I can't just list off the top of my head. There was another Buccaneers guy I can't remember anymore. Did we do that to Ronald Jones? We probably did that to Ronald Jones. The thing is, those guys got boosted to the James Cook. Like, these guys got boosted to the end of the first, having nothing to do with the player. It had everything to do with landing spot and the fact that we just didn't have enough running backs. You know, like, there was no running backs in the middle of the first. There was no running backs in the beginning of the second. So we're just like, all right, we're going to take this running back that should be in the middle of the second and boost him to the end of the first, because we need a running back to take there, because we can't go this long without a running back. I earned the 112. You know, I want a player that's going to make my team even better, that I'm going to be able to produce year one. Let me take a running back because their chances of producing year one are better. But they didn't belong there. They got pushed there for other reasons. Devin Achane was a lot of people's running back two or three. Kendre Miller, a lot of people liked him, and he just fell into a good spot. Like, I think these are very – all right, Tank and Roshan shouldn't be at the end of the first or even the beginning of this. Well, Roshan usually fell to, like, mid, late second. Tank was the beginning of the third. So, I'm taking them out of this conversation because they're late enough where it's just – if they work out, cool. If not, you didn't really lose much. But when talking about Achane and Charbonnet, I'm not even sure. Like, I'm so mad at the Seahawks for that.
It's almost the reverse of Sermon and Vaughn. It's like, it's the opposite of the situation. That's the awful situation, but we love the player a lot more.
So, like, no, like, I don't think it's bad process, A, loving these players, and B, taking them at the end of the first, really, because that's where the three of them fell. I took Achane so many times at the 111-ish. Kendre Miller usually went right after, and Charbonnet somewhere before or after that, depending on your draft. Like, he was rather variable. He was one of the few players that it was only like a 4-5 spot variance, but it was a little bit of back and forth. Honestly, I see a world where all of these guys can produce if the Dolphins don't sign Dalvin. I feel like Achane sort of has to. Kendre Miller, it depends on what happens with Kamara, if this legal stuff ever actually happens or not. Still not talking about it, so I have no idea. And, like, whatever they have behind – oh, yeah, they got Jamal Williams, right? All right, so neither of them are scoring touchdowns anyway, so it doesn't matter because that's just what Jamal Williams does. But, like, I think all of these players – I really want Roshan to be a thing, and I think he can – be a thing in Chicago because he's probably already the best pass catching back there. And Tank, I also think Tank has a role because Etienne is not an every down back. He's not the dude you want in there for third and three. Like, and you're running a draw. Like, that's not really what you want. That's not what you want Etienne for. That's what you want Tank for. His name's Tank. That's what you want him for. So I think all of these guys should produce something this year, whether they're like fantasy relevant or not. I mean, they're rookies. It's impossible to say. But, like, I think all of these guys at their ADPs are good picks.
I want to just even push the point even further with Roshan Johnson that, yeah, it seems like Khalil Herbert, not really a pass catcher, really bad in pass protection. Dante Foreman hasn't really had a receiving profile at all at the NFL. Seems like that's what Roshan brings to the table right away. But I almost argue he's the best runner anyway. Not even just
I wasn't ready catcher. To say it. I was feeling it, but I wasn't ready to say it out loud. But I'm here to ride your coattails for saying it.
All right. So one of the things I do, and this is all published on Full Press Coverage, back to the plug at the start of the show, But I scout running backs pretty heavily relative to other positions, and I've got my film grades, I think, of 28 running backs this year. And Roshan finished incredibly high. And frankly, all these guys that were mentioned, other than I wasn't really high on Tank Bigsby, but other than him, those four names that were mentioned by Noob Engineer, I had them significantly higher than Sermon and Vaughn. Like, I just think from a natural talent standpoint, these are just better players. And then the draft capital works. I mean, other than Roshan, all these guys were second round picks relative to Vaughn and Sermon, who were third round picks too. So even just like NFL capital, which seems to diminish every year for running backs, those guys still got better capital than them. So better players, more in their profiles to say they deserve to be in those spots. I also think the context around is a big factor. And I looked this up because I thought, you know, just with this year, we just don't have that many receivers to take. Like in instances with Vaughn and Sermon, it wasn't even just what running backs, because I mean, with Sermon, really, like the two running backs you might have passed up to take him were Michael Carter and Ramondre Stevenson. Like those were the guys that should have been ranked ahead of Sermon, and I actually did have both ranked ahead of Sermon, but that just seemed to be not, like, no one in the community or very few in the community really had them ranked that way. So but it wasn't just the running backs you passed up on. It's what receivers did you not take, or even you know, in some drafts, how late Justin Herbert fell with like Keyshawn Vaughn's year. Like, you should have taken Herbert instead of Keyshawn Vaughn, right? And I looked it up, and there were in rounds 1 and 2, 13 wide receivers taken in 2020, and then 10 in 2021. Only 8 receivers this year in the first 2 rounds. So, I mean, just like we're looking at, and the receivers that went in the second round a lot of times weren't the guys we had pegged with the best profiles. Like, I was really high on Josh Downs. He goes in the third round. I know some people who had Jalin Hyatt as a top 3 receiver in this class. He goes in the third round. So, you just had this big void of lack of receivers. And unless you were willing to reach on a tight end, which this might have been the year to do it, but if you weren't willing to, the running backs seem like the natural next best guys to go. So yeah, I agree. Certainly Miller and Achane, to me, I think worthy of being first round picks. After I say Zay Flowers or Kincaid, whoever is the 110, seems like that was a clear delineation of 10 players that went in the first round of the NFL draft. I almost always saw them all, or I think all the time saw them in the first round. Once you hit that 111, though, that's when things get wild. And you know, in the cases where I had picks there, I was either going Miller. I actually don't have any Achane, but I would have. Because to me, Miller was, I had him at RB2, RB3 throughout the whole process. So I still have him at RB3 now. So he's the guy I'm willing to take there. But it seems like there's an argument to be made for whoever, certainly between Achane and Miller. And even I've seen some drafts where Charbonnet was the third running back gone.
Yeah, for sure.
He's going ahead of them. So I think all three are worthy to be first round picks. So Noob Engineer, I don't think it's bad process at all. Sermon and Vaughn were just bad players.
Yeah. All right. So I also asked in the tweet, what are your favorite foods to grill and what are your favorite barbecue sides? His favorite foods to grill are brats. His favorite side is mac and cheese because duh. Yeah, I'm pretty much there. Like, that's like, hot dogs are fine, but like, come on, step up your game, go brat, go big. It's so much more fulfilling. It's so much more fun. It's just all around better.
Ribs on the grill, man. I don't know.
Ribs literally always. So at J Mike Check, his favorite grill food, cheddar brats. Exactly. See, like, that's also the good thing. Brats are big enough that things come inside of them. Hot dogs are just hot dogs and you don't want to know what's inside of them. Also favorite side, mac and cheese. And then his question is, if you could collaborate with any four artists to make an album, who would you choose? Are you a music guy?
Yeah, so I am a musician, actually. So like, my easy answer is one of the people I work with already, PA the Second, Patrick Pilla, who is my barber, by the way. So this Pat's Barber shirt, that's also him. So he's quite a multi-talented individual. Great, you know, incredible singer. And but even more impressive is him as a producer. So if I was to create an album with anyone, he would have to be the producer, I think. At the very least, co-producing with someone else. But I think he's not just the you know, great performer, but mastermind behind it all. And that'll give the best possible sound, I think. So the three others really don't matter that much. I would say if I had to collab with someone, I would love to have Justin Chancellor from Tool. If I could, like, get different musicians from my favorite bands,
well, yeah,
just, like, create a super band with it, I would want him as the bass player for sure.
That's why I never understood a perfect circle. Like, you took Tool and you took away the drummer and the bass player, the two best parts.
Adam Jones isn't in it either. This is totally Maynard doing his own thing.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm like. But, like,
I've always heard it as, like, and you hear, like, you know, he gets really much more deeply personal on a perfect circle than he does with Tool. It's
that's a very
someone's described it as, you know, Tool is Maynard's brain, whereas a perfect circle is Maynard's heart when it comes to the lyrics.
That is very cute, and I like that. I will take.
I like a perfect circle, but not as much as Tool. But there's also very few bands, if any bands that I can say I like as much as Tool. So
it's one of those things. It's really funny. It's just like, I grew up in like prime Dave Matthews Band era, and I respect every single person in that band because they are all fantastic at what they do. But when their powers combine, I hate it. Oh. Like, I just, every couple of years I go back because, you know, my music tastes have absolutely changed over the years, you know, roller coaster of guitars and drums, electric keyboard, screaming, angry stuff, emo music, like, let's just go with acoustic stuff for a few years. Like, and every couple of years, and I do this with food too, it's just like, my tastes have changed. Let me try this stuff I didn't like and see, maybe I do now. Can't do it. Just hate Dave Matthews Band. But again, they're really, really good at what they do.
And but, I mean, because I play guitar, right? So I think, to me, I would, okay, what musicians, even Justin Chancellor, like I can play bass, but just not as good as him. So like, who can bring something that I can't provide? And I think Jose Palace from Incubus, he's a drummer, so he could, I mean, I can kind of play drums. I mean, I can play drums, but just not as well as other instruments like guitar, for instance. Certainly not as well as Jose Palace can play. So he's also a very talented artist, visual artist. So there's your album cover designer as well. It's, I'm thinking of also multi roles for the band.
And then, see, it's really, really funny because I went a little bit different when I thought about this, because I was sitting here like, all right. I got three people, really. So the first two people I thought of right away were two people that literally can do every aspect of all of their music. I went with Dave Grohl and Trent Reznor because they have both made their album, you know, multiple albums completely by themselves, have played every part, written it all. And then it's really funny because, like, you'll talk about Trent Reznor these days. You'll be like, oh, yeah, that guy makes music for movies. He was in a band. I know, I'm old. Go listen to Nine Inch Nails. They're fantastic. But, like, they're both fantastic at what they do. Dave Grohl is hilarious and very good and fun. So I figure that'll bring up a little bit of, you know, the entertainment. Trent Reznor could produce, make exactly. You know, talk about electronics. And first of all,
he's like Adam Pat, he's the producer too. As well.
And, like, his voice is fantastic. He's not... Like, you hear Nine Inch Nails, you think angry, but I'm like, but he sang backup vocals for Tori Amos. Like, that's a different kind of angry singing, but that's a pretty angry singing. And then after that, I'm just like, I want someone silly that doesn't fit in the rest at all here. And I went, like, for some reason, my mind went right to Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance. And I'm like, I love his voice. It's, and then you said he's also an artist. We could do them. Like, Gerard Way could do that also.
True, yeah.
You know, so I'm like, yeah, that's perfect. All right. I don't have a fourth. But, like, to me, I'll put the three of them in a room because, I mean, I used to be a musician. I haven't played anything in decades. But, like, I'll sit and watch them do whatever the hell they want. And, you know, I'll have a great time with that. Yeah, sure. All right. Our last question at Corey Provost. I have Fields, Anthony Richardson. Wow. It's been so long since I've talked rookies that I forgot who AR was for a second. Tua and Pickett in Best Ball Superflex Dynasty. Should I be looking to trade one or hold all of them in case they are or hold all of them? They are all kind of volatile. What are your thoughts on that one?
Sure. I guess there's a lot of risk with all of them, really, to a certain extent. But I also, for three of them, I see high upside. And with one of them, I really don't. So one of these things doesn't belong with the other, right? And I wonder if, can you sell Kenny Pickett for an equally as volatile quarterback, but is viewed as a more volatile quarterback? Pickett is the first rounder, maybe viewed as some stability, but even if he starts for quite a few years, you know, are we really viewing a high upside performer? So can you trade Kenny Pickett for a Matthew Stafford plus, right? And then just to say, like, especially in best ball. Yeah. Cause you're not picking who plays, right? So one of those big weeks where Cooper Kupp scores multiple touchdowns, yep. You know, touchdown receptions from Stafford, maybe that helps. You know, you want to go really crusty and old and get Ryan Tannehill. Cause I love Tannehill, but it just seems like his value has kind of plummeted. So if you sell Pickett for Tannehill, like, what's that second piece you're getting that, especially in best ball, could be, you know, a threshold wide receiver that could see your lineup every so many weeks. That's probably going to be, you know, probably more of a chance to see your lineup than Pickett does.
It's really funny because, like, you're taking this like a step further, because in Superflex, I'm really just a two quarterback guy. Like, I don't usually have a third, because it's Superflex. You can start someone else in that spot if you have to. I don't like sunk value, because if I'm holding, you know, if I'm in a regular Superflex league and I have Fields, Anthony Richardson, Tua, and Pickett, I might hold AR just to see what's going to happen, but I definitely would not have all four of them. And most likely, I would end up moving two of them. But in best ball, I'm good holding three quarterbacks, but I'm also exactly with you. Pickett would be off my team.
So you wouldn't even go for another quarterback. You're just wide receivers, give me two starters in my lineup. And yeah, that might almost be the best way to sell them to someone who is desperate for a quarterback. May view, okay, Pickett's at least a first rounder stability. That's where you get those best pieces. So yeah. I forget what I was saying about the tear down. That's right. You can spot start buy a backup quarterback later in the season.
Assuming Anthony Richardson, we're assuming he's the starter, right? Like, so you're going to have Fields, AR, and Tua coming out. They're all playing. Fingers crossed two of them don't have the same bye weeks. And if that's the case, you're always going to have two quarterbacks in your lineup, unless one of them just sucks, in which case there's nothing you could do about that anyway. I like the idea. If you want to load up and keep that sort of, I don't know if that's a positional advantage or not, to have four and leave someone else with less. But if you can't, like you said, you believe in Kadarius Toney. Like, if you went out and got Stafford and Toney for Pickett, like, that feels like a great spot, especially again in best ball, where you never have to decide to play him. But that one game where they use, I don't even know, like, I don't want to be a jerk and say they use him on two gadgets, because who knows what that team's going to be. And I don't want to call Toney a gadget player, because I don't think he is. That's how he scored his touchdown in the Super Bowl. You know, like, I want him to be more than that, because he's fun to watch. But like, that's the play to me. If you wanted to keep four quarterbacks, I love that idea of a trade, sending Pickett for someone like Stafford or Tannehill, and getting a wide receiver three out of it that has the ability for those spike weeks. And I think both of them do.
If you want to keep a young QB room, do you just trade Pickett for one of the guys who didn't go in the first round last year, for like a Desmond Ridder or a Sam Howell? You might get...
That seems
you
like
you probably have less usable weeks than Stafford, right? Like, it almost seems like the best play might be to just, maybe that's how a team feels like they're getting bailed out on the older quarterback, and they're willing to give up a second significant piece, or even like a wide receiver and a pick, and like a 3-for-1.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not, because like, to me, Ridder is another 1 year rental of okay.
And what are you getting? Even like, how many times are you going to see the lineup with two and Fields alone? Like, it's probably really tough for him to have those spike weeks. So yeah, like, just yeah, push forward with the Stafford. That almost probably that was the first name that came to me. Again, maybe I should just go with my instincts. First names, first thoughts on trades.
Yeah, and we do have one question in the chat, and the question is, are you trading Jacobs for a random first right now, given all the news around him?
Josh Jacobs.
Yes.
News around him. What? Like that, you know, I guess he still hasn't signed an extension, right? So is there a potential holdout?
Sorry, I'm seeing right now is that he was left out of superstars list from NFL.com. I'm looking to see like what happened. I'm like, I don't, you know, Frank's always the one that tells us what the news is. I don't really know anything, but so I'm guessing
not superstar Josh Jacobs was left off a superstar list. How's that news?
NFL.com leaves out Raiders running back Josh Jacobs from superstar list.
the guy with zero receiving touchdowns in his career isn't a superstar in today's NFL. Like, see, that seems tough to me to call someone a superstar if they've never caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah, but he's also put up top 10 running back seasons.
340 carries last year. Yeah, no, for sure. But it just seems like, you know, if he's truly a superstar, he's going to catch at least one touchdown pass in his career, right?
All right. Well, are you selling Josh Jacobs for any first?
Or
for
this a random is back to that, like what we were talking about earlier, right? Like Nick Chubb in a first, right? Because here's the thing. I think I'd rather have Nick Chubb than Josh Jacobs. So do you sell Jacobs for the first now and then use that first to buy Nick Chubb later? Probably easier to do that than sell. That's probably a reason.
Because you're not going to get that swap most likely.
Yeah. I mean, why is someone going, you know, giving up Chubb to, I guess, get a year younger? Well, I guess maybe, well, I guess age-wise, there's a difference. There's only 1 year draft class year difference between them. But I guess.
Yeah.
Chubb was an older prospect.
Probably like 2 years though.
Yeah. But either way, I think I'd be willing to, because I'm the 300 touch, as I just mentioned, he had 340 carries. He also had like 50 catches last year, which is crazy. That again, he's had like 103 catches just over the last 2 years and still zero receiving touchdowns. It's kind of funny. Maybe that's a Derek Carr problem. But there is some concern with the 350 touch running backs next, the following season very rarely live up to those expectations. And so Josh Jacobs, for the first time in his career, has kind of exploded to get over 300 touches, and he smashed past, I think he had 390 touches, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, around there.
I think he poses for, we'll say, just top 12 running backs in Dynasty. He probably poses one of the biggest injury risks. I mean, obviously you've got Breece Hall in that top 12 who is injured. So, but like just in terms of, you know, Jacobs, there might be a letdown this year, and there might be inefficiencies, or it might just be, you know, more prone to injuries after having so many carries last year. So I guess I'm seeing Frank's mentioning that there's a wee rumor that Josh Jacobs would skip week one at this point. Again, the potential of a holdout. So
yeah,
if that's more risk there, but I view just, again, his usage last year is more of a bigger risk to me. So either way, there's multiple factors of risk there. Probably safer to get that first now. If he holds out, he might never recoup that value of being worth the first, right? So
yeah, it's one of those things I don't think I'm going out and seeking, but if it gets sent to me, I would heavily consider it, because honestly, like, regardless of what he's scored the past few years, his value never really jumped to where it should have been to me. So I still think a 24 first is what you should be happy with for him. So if it's something you were looking to do, yeah, you take that 24 first. If you're not looking for it and someone sends it to you, like, I love that idea of selling Jacobs for the first and then wait a month and, you know, swap that for Chubb. Of course, a lot of things need to go your way for that to actually work out. But like that, the idea of that, I like the sound of. So I think I'm there for that. But again, I don't think it's something I don't think I seek to move Josh Jacobs right now.
That's actually a good point you made about him, just like, because his value not spiking. I mean, he was basically right alongside Eckler and McCaffrey in terms of points per game last year. Like,
yep.
Could have easily been the RB1. I think he finishes the RB3, but it was by so few points where, you know, one receiving touchdown probably makes him RB1. But really, if you look at running back rankings in Dynasty, I don't see very many where he's ahead of Eckler or McCaffrey, or even that close.
No, he's usually around like that 10 to 12 area, which is ridiculous.
I went to goingfor2.com to look at our consensus rankings, and I just thought of it in my head, like, because I have Jacobs at RB10, whereas I have Eckler at RB4 and McCaffrey at RB3.
Yeah.
He's younger than them, and he basically did what he did production-wise, but yet there's just so much of a risk of that. Can he repeat that? Whereas with Eckler and McCaffrey, you know, it's based so much on receptions, and they've just earned targets every year that we view it as more predictable. At least I do, anyway.
No, I can see
the consensus thing is actually not too bad. Going for two, our consensus is RB7 for Jacobs, whereas it's 6 for Eckler. But we also have like Ryan Searfoss down at RB19 for Jacobs, whereas
Eckler, impressively low.
Yeah, like the lowest anyone has McCaffrey is 5. Lowest anyone has Eckler is 8. So like the volatility of where you'll see in consensus rankings, I'm sure Jacobs swings quite, you know, quite large relative to those other guys. So yeah, all to say though, I don't see any of these rankings where Jacobs is ahead of Eckler.
So
none of us seem to value him that way, even though he produced that way. But that's not just those making rankings thing. It seems like if you go to your leagues, that's the general consensus on that. If you tried to, if you tried to just sell Josh Jacobs to buy McCaffrey, the McCaffrey manager is probably not doing it because they probably feel more safe with the points McCaffrey's going to get. And Jacobs is still like, he's on a franchise tag. He's done his rookie contract. You're not getting that much of an age younger player. If you want to like move off of McCaffrey for a younger player, you're not really getting that with Jacobs.
All right. Well, that is the end of our show sheet and the end of our questions in the comments. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Kyle, for coming on and just stealing the soul of my co-host and sitting in his chair right away. So I appreciate that transition period you gave for me. But before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
So I'm the guy that likes to interrupt people on podcasts. I'm Kyle Senra at Senra
Says. He's good at it.
Thank you. Gotta be good at something, right? I think I'm okay at fantasy football, but I've got the Full Press Fantasy Pod, the Full Press Packers Pod. I co-host both of them. And if you're like Rocky, and I suppose most people do listen to the show, Rocky was a guest on our most recent episode of the Full Press Fantasy Pod, so that was a lot of fun. If you want to find out which players Rocky is rostering most of in his league, that's a great insight into.
If you listen to the show, you know it's Kirk Cousins and Deontay Johnson.
Oh, actually, there's another name. And I won't, I'm not even going to spoil it on the show. Maybe I'll tell Russ after, just not making him suffer. But yeah, go check out the Full Press Fantasy Pod if you want to find out who is.
Absolutely, I'm going to DM you at like 3 in the morning. It's this guy, isn't it? Because it's going to, I got to want to know. I want to try and figure this one out.
Yes. I'm also at Going for Two Live. Got a couple live shows there. The Dynasty Gambit press coverage. Just subscribe to the Going for Two YouTube page. Going for Two Live. Search it up on YouTube and subscribe. And because there's not just those two shows. Like there's tons of shows on the network. Almost every night of the week, there's programming. So Jeff Lambert just done a fantastic job creating Going for Two, creating this live network for us to do these podcasts and on the YouTube channel. So again, subscribe to the Going for Two Live YouTube page.
Very cool. And I mean, I don't really, whatever. At Fishbowl Merch on Twitter, go bio link, buy some awesome Fishbowl merch, and money from that proceeds, that's the word, goes to Fantasy Cares, which goes to, well, that is a charity, and which will end up going to get kids some awesome stuff for the holidays. And that's awesome. 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 I'm out of words, so I'm going to bed. Bye, everybody. I always hit the wrong button. I'm like, all right, bye, let's go. I'm like, yeah, I want to leave. So I'm going to hit the leave button. No, I have to hit the end broadcast button. That's the button you're
saying. Thank you for listening to the Great Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. Daddy's the best. See ya.